We are with the president and commissioner of the Northwoods League, Ryan Vaz. And first of all, Ryan, let's discuss the season, which is now underway this week. How exciting is that for you and everyone involved in baseball here in Minnesota?
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. Everybody's a lot of hard work in the offseason to finally pull things together and get the season underway. So everybody's excited.
How much different, obviously, is it now this year at this time on, you know, the first week of June as opposed to what you guys were trying to go through last year with everything going on?
It sure is refreshing. You hit the reset button a little bit, I think, personally, because, you know, you may take things for granted. Next thing you know, 2020 hits. And you've got all the regulations and all the rules, and you don't know whether you're going to play. And then 2021 comes back, and boy, there's a new sense of excitement in the air for sure.
As we get into kind of previewing the season and the formatics, and I know the divisions, and it's really kind of back to normal, I do want to ask you about the health and safety protocols. What can you tell us about maybe around the league? What kind of things are going on? Is it mostly now done locally in terms of what the local guidelines are?
Yeah, we've been following the local guidelines since day one, and we sent out letters to all the players and communicated that we strongly encourage the players to be vaccinated before they approached their Northwoods League market. And if they didn't believe in the vaccination, that they had to get tested before they came to each of the respective cities. We still want to take this serious. We still want to do the right things. And ultimately, as we are kind of turning the corner, we want to make sure we can fulfill the season and do it the right way.
Yeah, no question. How proud are you of what you guys were able to pull off last year, given the situation that, you know, basically you had a 2+ month season when it was all said and done, and I know there were a few hiccups along the way, but to get that many games in, you had to feel pretty good about it, given the situation in general.
Yeah, it worked out the best it possibly could have. A lot of summer collegiate leagues weren't playing. A lot of leagues in general, obviously minor league baseball did not play. We stayed patient, followed the guidelines, and then were able to open up July 1 and play through the third week of August. Teams were able to get in 25 home games, 25 home and road games, so a 50-game schedule roughly. Normally we're playing 72 games. So when it was all said and done, it turned out in the end, but I'll tell you, when the season was here and it was over, there was a little celebrating going on at the end of the summer just to know that we pulled it off.
And as you mentioned, now we're getting back to some semblance of normal, and the league is looking back to kind of normal. I know there were some teams that had to sit out. I guess there's at least one team having to sit out this year because of the international rules in terms of the U.S. and Canada and the border, and we can get into that in a moment. But by and large, it looks like we're back to normal from a standings and division standpoint and a schedule standpoint, right?
Yeah, everything is kind of reflected back to 2019. As you mentioned, the only difference is that we have, an expansion team called the Minnesota Mud Puppies because Thunder Bay was not able to participate in the upcoming season because of the border being closed. But other than that, the Prairie Lakes and the is back to normal. We are set for the season.
And as you look over the season, how much work goes into it in general? Let's do this. Let me ask you first. I know you guys have been around for now nearly three decades, but I'm sure you still get questions. What is this, a minor league? Is this who are the players? Where do they come from? So just from that standpoint, let's set the stage for listeners who, certainly if you're a baseball fan now in Minnesota, you know what the Northwoods League is, but I still think there is occasionally people who aren't sure, what the rosters are comprised of, what type of player.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I've been doing this for 24 years, and a lot of my in-laws still have no idea what the heck the Northwoods League really is. So, it's a summer collegiate league comprised of 22 affiliates. It's the largest summer collegiate league in the country. We draw more fans than any other summer collegiate league in the country. And by playing a 72-game schedule, more teams, more games, and more fans than any other summer collegiate league. A wood bat league. That's comprised of Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA players from all over the country that will live with host families in their respective communities. And they're here to hone their skills. But the organizations are also giving interns an opportunity to be in sports for the summer, fulfill their internships. And it really gives, these communities a quality of life and an opportunity for people to leave their problems at home and be able to come out to the ballpark and be a part of the community.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention that because it really is in terms of a college league. So the players are good players from all kinds of schools. You may see some Gophers on the roster. You may see some Minnesota State Mankato player on the roster. You may see players from the SEC and the ACC, right, from all over the country coming into Minnesota and Wisconsin and the Dakotas and Michigan and Iowa to play.
Yeah, there's players from all over. I think I looked a few years ago and we had a roster of 30 players from 25 different states, primarily comprised of Division I athletes. But these guys will make friends. They'll become teammates right out of the gates. And before the end of the season, it may seem like a long, intense summer. But when the summer is over, these guys wish they had more of it. And that's one of the aspects of the league that I've always thought was interesting. It's a lot of games in a short period, but it has the players and the fans wanting more by the end of the summer. So we each play 36 home games, and it's a lot of games in a short period. But come the middle of August, it really wants you, the fans are still grasping for more games and really builds that excitement for the next season.
And staying with that collegiate theme, you hit on it just a little bit, that it also provides opportunities for guys who maybe aren't skilled enough to be ball players but want to be around sports. And you have internships with, from photographers to communication specialists to, equipment people. That also offers opportunity. And I guess you kind of came up through the ranks, right? I mean, you started as an intern in this league.
Yeah, I did. I started in 98 in St. Cloud. It was the second year of the St. Cloud Riverbats. And a gentleman who was my mentor at the time said, if you want to be in sports, you could stay in this league. It's young and have an opportunity to be in it for a long time. And truly, I've enjoyed it and made a career out of it.
No question. No question about it. So now with that as the backdrop, I'll get to the question I was going to ask a couple of minutes ago, and that is, how do the teams determine what players they get as the rosters are now getting assembled? I suppose there are still a few of these college guys that are now in the tournaments that may arrive a little late, but for the most part, I'm assuming the rosters are set. How do you come about the rosters?
Yeah, the roster piece to it is all working your network within colleges all over the country. So the best way to explain it is that every Northwoods League affiliate probably has 15 to 20 really good key contacts working with that coaching staff. So if the coaching staff leaves that university and goes to a different university, you tend to follow with your network of contacts. And if you were to look at our roster over the last 5-10 years in Willmar or any Northwoods League roster, you'd see a lot of similar schools from year in and year out. So, for us, it's former players that have gone onto the coaching ranks, or coaches that we've hired over the years that are now at different universities. So you kind of go back to your network and you build this relationship. You treat the players well. You send them back to university, better players in the fall. And next thing you know, you're taking 3 or 4 players from their university.
You mentioned you're also part of the Willmar Stingers, and I'm sure you see up close and personal. Willmar's a good example of really all of the cities, I assume, across the league, where you can have this cool deal where players come in and they stay with host families, and sometimes these host families will host new players each year. Sometimes they'll host a few, and I know of a family that when Alexandria had a team, she was telling me that they still are in touch and get Christmas cards from players from, way back from the late 1990s, that they just stay in touch that long. So that's kind of a cool aspect of this.
Yeah, we couldn't do it without the families. I mean, the families we say are truly the backbone of the organization, because we have rosters now of 35 players living with 30 to 35 different families. There always is a handful that take 2 players, but for the most part, they'll take 1 player. You have a family taking in a stranger, of a ball player coming into their home in the middle of the night, coming back from a road trip from Bismarck, and they take care of them as though it's their child or their son for the summer. And by the end of the summer, they've met their family and they move on and they get married and they invite them to their wedding and they have kids and share photos. It's amazing the experience and relationship that's built in that short window of time.
Let's talk about the formatics of the league. As we mentioned, it's looking more normal this year as opposed to what you guys had to navigate through last year. So all of the Minnesota teams are in the Great Plains Division. Kind of take us through how that shakes out, and then as we get closer and closer, what the playoff situation would look like in terms of how that matchup goes.
Yeah, no, the league's broken up into 22 teams broken up into 2 divisions. The Great Plains Division this year will not have the Thunder Bay franchise, but we'll have the Minnesota Mud Puppies. So the Plains Division has 10 teams. The The Lakes Division has 12 teams. And our formatting for the playoffs will be very similar as what it was in 2019. The Mud Puppies team will not be eligible for the postseason due to the fact that they're playing 36 games and not 72 games. So the Minnesota team, which is based out of the Twin Cities, primarily Eagan is where they'll be practicing and departing from, will play the Thunder Bay road games. And so nine teams in the Plains will be fighting for a playoff spot, and then 12 teams in the Great Lakes Division with an all-star game in Mankato, middle of July, and then a North Major League showcase that we'll put together for scouts that'll be done in La Crosse, Wisconsin in August.
Well, let me ask you too, as I mentioned, you're affiliated with Wilmer. We have listeners, you know, all over the state here as well, and certainly in the other cities represented. Give us a sales pitch as to what makes this fun and why people should come out and watch baseball this summer in the Northwoods League.
Yeah, no, you know, the reason why fans should come out is that truly, you know, this is homegrown baseball. This is grassroots. These guys are not being paid to play baseball. We provide for them three meals a day and a great host family experience. They are playing to hone their skills with the shot of playing professional baseball. And typically about a third of the team will go on at some point in their career and play professionally. And for the other two thirds, these guys are playing for the love of the game, and we're trying to give them the best experience we can. So from a fan standpoint, the affordability piece to it and the localness of being able to catch some of the best talent in the country is truly why fans come out. But, you know, the entertainment part of it, we feel is just as important, being able to put on a good show each and every night in each of the respective markets.
And in a summer where Minnesota has certainly a big tourism situation, how important is it to some of these communities to have these teams and the impact it has?
Yeah, I know the way that you look at it is you hope that you can draw some fans from the outside that might be vacationing in your area, but ultimately it's the people within your communities or a 30-mile radius. And the business community is really what keeps a lot of the Northwoods League franchises going in preparation for the season. We always joke that, you know, your goal is to try to sell two-thirds or three-quarters of your tickets before you throw your first pitch, so that you're not relying on a winning team and great weather. But it's your engagement with those businesses in the community that really, truly make this thing happen.
Have you gotten a sense or any feedback? I know it's early in the season, but just in talking with fans in general, and maybe in your case specifically to Wilmer, having been cooped up now for a year, that they're like eager to get out and say, yeah, I may even buy a few extra tickets and come out a few extra nights after not getting to see much.
Yeah, it's going to be extra special this summer. And it was amazing on how many people responded last year and thanked us for pulling it off. They all realized it wasn't easy. And we had a feeling that that might have been the last sporting event that they were able to see last August. And for a lot of them, they haven't been able to see any kind of live sports since the Stinger season last year or any Northwoods League team. So fans are eager to get out, and it should be a really fun season. And with the restrictions being lifted, the timing's been perfect for the season.
So over the course of the Northwoods League history, who are some of the players that have gone on now that we might recognize that have made a name for themselves as major leaguers?
Yeah, there's players kind of in each of the different generations, but Pete Alonso with the New York Mets. Everyone probably remembers, you know, Curtis Granderson, who was one of the first Northwoods Leaguers to make it, that played with the Mets and the Yankees and the Tigers. And, you know, Max Scherzer and Chris Sale both pitched in La Crosse. They faced off the last couple years in the All-Star game, which has been kind of fun. Both of those guys pitched in the La Crosse market. When I was in Alexandria, we had, the current Minnesota twin, Mitch Garver, was in St. Cloud, the catcher that played in the league. So I believe there's just over 250 major leaguers that have played in the league. For us here in Wilmer, we've had seven guys in the last 11 years that have gone on. And Hunter Dozier being one of them with the Kansas City Royals that just played the Twins here the other night. So as much as we want to provide the best family experience we can, the baseball is very, very good. And if you are a true baseball fan, it's fun to watch to see who might be the next guy coming through the ranks.
All right, very good. Hey, we appreciate the time. Best of luck. I know it's week one of the season, and but as you mentioned before, you know it gets to be August, and we're wishing for more. So enjoy the ride.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
All right, sounds good. He is Ryan Voss, the president and commissioner of the Northwoods League.